what was allergies last week, I believe, has turned into a cold, and I'm just getting over it. So if this is your podcast you listen to before you go to sleep, the voice is going to be a little lower, a little less energy, a little softer, because I can't get too excited because then my voice gives out on me. But we're almost close to being healthy again, which shouldn't be as hard as it is, I think. But first story is an update. The lady who was throwing eggs at her neighbor's house, she was throwing eggs from her window to her neighbor's window, smashing the eggs on her neighbor's house. They were falling down, all the gross stuff, egg yolk and whatever, covering the house. The eggs would sit out there and rot. The thing that got me is she was punishing herself as much as her neighbor, because she has to smell it too. She lives right next to the place she's creating all this mess and stink. So the original story, the neighbor who was the victim in this case said, like, I don't know why this lady's hucking eggs in my house. She set up a camera. She got video of her sniping out her window, 360 no scope, out her window and hitting the house. She was doing like a carton of eggs a day sometimes. They said up to 80 over a couple months, but they know it was way more. These are just the ones they like have a record of. The secondary thing, she's paying for eggs. Eggs in Japan are not the cheapest commodity. If I was going to try to ruin someone else's property, I wouldn't do it with something I have to pay for consistently that I could eat, a high protein source. I would find something else that was way cheaper, way messier, and didn't negatively impact my life as well. So not someone who thinks through the consequences of their actions. I think that's normal of a lot of criminal enterprises, but in this particular case, it shows itself so well. I really found it an interesting case. She has been sentenced to jail. So I thought it was going to be a fine, maybe cleanup fees, that kind of stuff. They haven't given us the exact amount of prison time she's been given. It's basically come to a conclusion. They're probably still trying to figure out the details. Does she have to pay money, cleanup fees, that kind of stuff, still coming down the line. But conclusively, she is going to prison for an indeterminate amount of time. A very interesting thing I would actually like to know is what people, so other than myself, think would be an appropriate amount of prison time for hucking eggs at your neighbor's house. Now, it's not just like once and then never do it again. It's like consistently over months and months and months, creating like an ecological biohazard near her house. One of the things that never came out was why she was doing this. The victim again said, I don't know why she was throwing eggs in my house. We never really had a picture of a close relationship, but we never had any sort of conflict. The lady said that she threw the eggs because of insults being hurled at her daily. I'm pretty sure the victim here, the lady who had received the egg throwing, wasn't insulting her daily. It actually seemed like she was primarily trying to not interact with her much at all. Maybe that was the insult, that you didn't come and bend the knee to me when you moved in, or they'd lived together for years and years and years, and this was a very sudden thing that started. It seems like she just had a bit of a mental break. Probably saw something that she thought was insulting and just interpreted it that way, and then now considers it a daily insult that has not been rectified. I don't know. That's all supposition, but it pushed her over the edge, and she thought the only solution I have is to throw eggs at my neighbor's house, despite the fact that it's right next to my house and I have to suffer right along with her. A French artist, a self-proclaimed artist. So this is an interesting thing. The newspaper articles have been very clear. So I've read three or four articles with the same story. They all say self-proclaimed. So he's calling himself an artist. When do you actually adopt the title of artist is a very interesting question. When do I call myself an artist and it's just self-proclaimed? When does someone else call me an artist and then it's sort of a title that sticks? It's like Esquire. You're not supposed to give yourself the Esquire title. Someone else is supposed to give it to you. I guess it would be very easy for me to call myself a podcaster because it doesn't come with any sort of sense of grandiosity. It is just something people do in their rooms alone when they're very lonely and want to talk to people and they don't get a chance to talk to people and they're very sad. Anyways, that's not actually the relevant part. This guy, self-proclaimed French artist, was arrested for drawing facial hair on campaign posters. So this is an election season. They have campaign posters up. They do it in Japan. It's very organized. They have like a big panel. It'll have numbers like 16 boxes. And then you buy one of those boxes and you put your campaign poster up there. We did have a controversy in Tokyo a little while ago where people were putting up dirty posters. People were buying it and saying like just promoting their SNS and things like that. That's not really what this story is about, but it shows that like these have become an interesting target for people to pay attention to. This guy walked up It says facial hair, so I'm assuming mustache, goatee, maybe a beard. Who knows? I can honestly say I have walked by and then had the same urge where I'd be like, oh, it would be funny. I could draw some funny things on that face. But then I didn't do it because A, I had somewhere to go, and I had B, better things to do. This was destruction of property because they pay for that poster to be up there. They own that poster. They own that space. You vandalizing it, putting graffiti on it, that's destruction of property. Police checked security cameras after they saw the goatee or the mustache or whatever was drawn on the poster and found him very easily. That's just what it comes down to. He's believed to have defaced several other posters. So this isn't the first charge. This is probably the first of several charges he's going to get, because now they're going to check the other posters. Was he in the area? Maybe does it match his artistic style? There would be an interesting thing to try to nail someone on. You conclude that they're art style is unique, and therefore we can then pin all these other ones on you, even if it's not true. And then is he happy that his art is being recognized, or does he end up suffering because, oh, I didn't actually draw those. You can't ascribe those to me. Those aren't the same level of art that I am creating when I do graffiti, facial hair, like a 12-year-old on a poster. So cycling in Japan. We've had a lot of stories about like updated road rules in Japan. There was rules about those riding suitcases. And if you want to take them out outside essentially the airport, you're probably not even supposed to ride them in the airport. But if you want to ride them, they have to be licensed. You have to have a driver's license. They have this for anything electric. So an electric bicycle, an electric scooter, you're actually supposed to be licensed for that. You have to wear a helmet. It has to be like, all this has to be legal. Japan's just getting tired of people getting drunk and smashing stuff, and they've decided to get really strict on the rules. Cyclists on their smartphones are now looking at 6 months in prison and a 100,000 yen fine. So that 6 months in prison for riding your bicycle while looking at your smartphone is pretty serious. But I can honestly say I've seen it happen a lot. It's mostly young people that I've seen. That's not to say that that's correct. Again, I live out in the countryside. It's generally very, very old people and very, very young people live around me. So the very, very young people are going to be the ones riding on their smartphone. The older people, probably not so much. But that's only where I live. If you're in Tokyo, where a lot of people commute, and this actually like really increased in 2022, 2023, when people are like worried about coronavirus and didn't want to take the train so much anymore, bicycle usage increased significantly. People spend time riding their bicycle, weaving in and out of traffic and or people while looking at their smartphone. That's problematic. They've decided to make it a criminal offense, 6 months in prison. If you get drunk and ride your bicycle, Japan is getting stricter and stricter about people being drunk because there's a lot of drunk people a lot of the time. You can get 5 years in prison and up to 500,000 yen fine if you cause an accident. Oh, if you cause an accident while drunk. So that's just if I ride my bicycle drunk, I can get 5 years in prison and a 500,000 yen fine. If I am drunk and I cause an accident, I can get another year on top of that and 300,000 yen more fine on top of the 5 years and 500,000 yen. This is all because in 2023, there were 72,000 bicycle accidents, and it's already risen higher than that in 2024. 2024 is not finished, but they've already got more than that. And they're like, this is something we have to deal with. We have something we have to take care of. Hours after this law was passed, two men, both drunk, ran into each other. So both had an accident. So both of them could be facing 5 years in prison and a 500,000 yen fine. And both of them could actually be facing the extra 1 year and the extra 300,000 yen fine, because you could technically say maybe they both caused the accident because they were both drunk. A 38-year-old man is at a store. It's not that unusual. And then he gets really, really upset. And the reason he's upset, he starts shouting, "Why didn't you ask if I needed a plastic bag?" Now, I actually think it's quite normal not to ask if people need a plastic bag now, because a lot of stores are actually banning plastic bags for environmental reasons. They're not actually handing out plastic bags. If you want a plastic bag, you have to ask for one. That's become the norm in a lot of places. I don't expect places to offer me a bag anymore. Like when I go to the convenience store, when I go shopping for groceries, I don't expect them to offer me bags. If I want one, I have to ask. This guy clearly has not changed that mindset. And he got really upset at the cashier. Another man just tries to step in. He's like, "Hey, let me intervene. Let me try to calm the situation down." First guy gets really upset, pushes the man, and then gets behind him and puts on a chokehold. The man will take 10 days to heal from the injury. So the chokehold, so we don't know if it was the push or the chokehold that actually caused the injuries. Because let's say he pushed him down and he hit his arm or his leg or something. That could have been an injury that needs to heal. 10 days, it's probably just a really bad bruise. But a chokehold, you could actually bruise your esophagus. It could be quite serious. The amazing part. And this shows sort of the mindset you have to get into when talking about these stories. The guy who did the choking, who created the kerfuffle in the beginning, he's the one who called the police claiming that the victim hit him. So he gets upset. So this is, again, the mindset you have to be in. He gets upset because he wasn't offered a bag. A guy comes in and says, like, hey, maybe you need to chill out. He pushes that guy, hits that guy, knocks that guy down, gets around, chokes him from behind, then calls the police and says, that guy attacked me. And that's something that I think getting into the mindset of the person actually reveals a lot. He feels perfectly justified in attacking other people and then blaming them, thinking he's going to get away with it. This is an interesting thing because I'm interested to see how much trouble he actually gets in. It's probably going to depend whether or not the victim in this case presses charges or whatnot. But it's kind of that Karen mindset that's taken over the internet where people, like, they just go and go and go, and then they call the police expecting the police to come back them up. That seems to have now started in Japan. And I don't want to see hundreds of these videos. After we've gotten past sort of all the videos of people like YouTubers and streamers and stuff causing trouble to get video clout, I'm really hoping that the next step isn't just people taking on that whole internet Karen mode and going crazy in Japan as well. Another 38-year-old man. Two 38-year-old men in two stories. That's crazy. He was a salesperson, but not a salesperson for the incident that we're talking about. He was pretending to be a salesperson going house to house. He visited an older couple, and they're in their 80s, and he gets into their house because he's a door-to-door salesman of some sort, or at least he's pretending to be. He gets in their house and he finds a way to give them sleeping pills. So I'm assuming they had tea together, and he got sleeping pills into their tea. When they were drowsy, he stole 26 million yen in cash and a Boston bag. I've had this conversation before. Why do you have 26 million yen in cash in your house? Older people in Japan, they still seem to hoard cash. Why is it not in a safe? Like, if you're going to have that much money around, have a safe, put it in the safe, lock it up. They have it obviously in a box or something. 26 million yen. Like, I know the yen isn't the same value as the American dollar, but it's still like $20,000. That's $200,000. 26, what is it? 5 million yen is about 50,000 bucks. So 20 million yen, yeah, that's $200,000. Why do you have 2,000? See, this is it. Like, the math is sort of boggling to me. Why would you just keep that much cash around? Like, you don't need that much cash to buy anything. You're not going to go buy a car with cash regularly enough to keep it in your house. Put it in the bank. It's safe. It won't go anywhere. You're not getting any interest on it. The Japanese bank's interest rates are really low, but you're not going to lose it. You're not going to have a guy come into your house and just take it. It's not insured or anything. So that's it. The Boston bag, I don't know enough about bags. I'm assuming Boston bags are very expensive. The part where this really goes over the top is when he left. So the older couple is drowsy, they're sleeping. He's taken the money, he's taken the Boston bag, and then he sets the house on fire. A neighbor noticed the fire and called the fire department. Other neighbors went into the house and woke up the older couple and got them out. So no one actually died, no one actually got hurt. There was some smoke inhalation the son of the parents got, and he had to go to hospital checked out, but he's okay as far as I can tell from the articles I've read. I guess when you take the money, the older couple, when they wake up, are going to know who you are. And that is it. You have to, like, have no witnesses. And then the money would have technically burnt up in the fire. But yeah, this is a double attempted murder, theft, and some sort of fraud and con going on with it. This guy is in a heap of trouble. When you get in a taxi and the driver, so let's say you just had dinner, you call a taxi, you get in the taxi, and then as the taxi goes, the driver looks back at you and says, you know, you look sick. Here are some pills. Do you take them? My answer is no. I am not going to take any sort of medicine from someone who is driving a taxi. Not because I have anything against, like, sort of the capacity of a taxi driver to diagnose my illness, but I just don't know who you are because you're a random taxi driver. What has happened is a young girl came out of a restaurant, got in a taxi, and then the taxi driver, while he was driving, looked back and said, you look sick. Here's some medicine. Take the medicine. She took the medicine. She took the pills, and they were sleeping pills. So this is the second case of sleeping pills being used in 1 week that we know of. 4.5 hours later, she's found asleep in a parking lot. The urine test, she was taken to the hospital. They did a urine test. They found the drugs in her system. So they know that she was drugged. They try to trace back her steps. They know she was in a taxi. They find the security cameras from the area, find the taxi. They find the taxi. It has an SD card in it with the cameras. That's gone. So they think the taxi driver, of course, is trying to, you know, hide any evidence of him doing any sort of any wrongdoing. But it was quite easy to find him once they had sort of the basic evidence of where she began, where she ended up. But they know where she was. They know where she got in the taxi. They know what was going on in that area. They could check security footage. They found the taxi driver. They have had several reports of people who have lost their memories after taking a taxi, which is very concerning. So there's our good piece of advice, final piece of advice. I want to make a little short one today just because, again, I'm not feeling great. I don't have the energy to keep going for hours and hours and hours. I wanted to do some more stories today, to be honest. But hopefully we'll get a longer one next week when I'm feeling better. The Ninja News Japan, final piece of advice from Chunk McBeef Chest, your host, to you, the listener, or the viewer, or however you're seeing this. A, I love you. Just put that out there. Make sure you remember that. There is someone in the world who does care about you. And B, don't take drugs from a taxi driver.